You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
It's time for the Dragon Con Report, a podcast dedicated to help newcomers and veterans prepare for the upcoming annual convention in downtown Atlanta. With interviews, advice, and news from the pros and fans alike, be careful, you never know, you might actually learn something.
Howdy, everyone, and welcome to the fifth episode of the 2022 Dragon Con Report. I'm your host, Mike Gordon, and now there's less than 100 days until Dragon Con. Ooh, pretty exciting. We are continuing our 11th season of covering this con we love so much, and I'm pleased to introduce you to the rest of our station crew. Without further ado, Director Mike Faber.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me here tonight. This is fancy, you know?
You make things run, man. You make things run, especially tonight where we're trying this new technology. Ooh, shiny.
I know, it's all shiny and new here on the station, and this is going to be pretty fun to see. And God, I hope this is recording. that's all I need to say.
Yeah, so people are watching this live, so howdy everybody who's watching this live. Thank you for that. People will be able to access this once it's recorded, and you see it on YouTube and Facebook and all that, so very excited about that. And of course, the audio podcast, the audio version will be available as well. Yeah, so we're going to try to cover all our bases here. It's pretty exciting. So forgive us if there's any like sort of bumps or any sort of interruptions, because this is still kind of new to us, a new toy to play with. So thank you, Mike, for handling that, by the way.
Oh, yeah, you're just going to see me scrambling big time tonight.
We also have Darren with us.
Hi, everybody. What's going on?
How is the green room?
The green room is blue, sir. The green room is blue. I don't know what you're seeing, but
Do we put the proper refreshments in there?
No, actually, there's the service.
You wanted refreshments? Come on. Yeah. What are we, the Tonight Show?
There's barely a fold-out chair over here to sit on.
As I mentioned,
if you want refreshments, dude, you got to go to the town hall. You know, that's all you need.
Yeah, really. they got the big bucks, right?
Yeah. As I said, all the boiled eggs for everyone. Yes,
we're still in the early stages of using this. So yeah. We'll get that all like padded and
a nice
comfy sofa, you know, that kind of thing.
Comfy chair.
And we also have with us Jen. Woo! Look at that.
Where's my shrubbery? Hi, everybody.
How are you?
Oh, there's my shrubbery.
Yeah. Yes. I think we can see it now. I think the last Zoom we were using or whatever, it was like kind of pixelated back there. So we couldn't really see what was going on.
Everything we have tried until this has had me just on the struggle bus.
Yes.
My cameras didn't like it. My internet didn't like it.
Well, we're very excited to have us all here with using the technology. Like I said, less than 100 days left till Dragon Con. Can you guys believe it?
No.
It's right around the corner, just a few months away.
It's frightening.
Let's combine being a costumer with packing your house up to move. It's a nightmare.
My goodness.
Because I'm already like, when am I going to have time to sew? I've labeled boxes, but am I going to remember where the stuff I'm taking to con is?
I actually wrote on all my boxes cosplay stuff.
that's
like really big on every side. It's like, okay.
There's five boxes that say costumes, but what costumes? I don't need to unpack them all. I just need the dragon. I should have wrote Dragon Con on the one box.
We'll be definitely curious as the months go on to hear how the cosplay is going with you guys. Cause I imagine it's still early, right?
It's early until like August 25th.
That's okay. Right. Gotcha.
I usually start working on it in January and all I've done is bought fabric.
Wow. Well, that's something. I mean, I'm sure there's other people who, and then by like, you know, with 2 weeks left, you'll get a brilliant idea that you have to.
Oh, that's in, right? The thing. Yeah. You always yeah. get like, oh my God, this would be great. And you're like online at Joanne Fabrics the next morning at 9 a.m. to get a doorbuster sale or something.
Actually, we've got some people already watching us. So howdy, everybody, commenting. So thank you for checking us out. We appreciate it. We've got some guests joining us. We've got from the DragonCon newbies group. Sue is here again.
Hi.
How's it going?
Great. How is everyone here?
Absolutely great. Can now I'm sure you heard, because you in the green room you can hear us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so yeah, don't talk about anybody in the green room, because they'll be able to hear you. So yeah, less than 100 days, right?
Less than 100 days.
Like, when is the point where you go, oh my God, I gotta get ready?
Around now.
Okay.
You know, this is the time where everyone sort of realizes that it's within planning distance, I would say.
Cool. Yes. Well, yeah. Really, this is where, I mean, if you haven't started by now, like, you should start.
Right.
Yeah, you should really start. Okay. And we'll have some
like real planning.
You're distance. Behind at this point.
You know, if you, it's too late to book your hotel.
We also have some, is Kevin with us already? In the green room? Is there anybody else?
No.
Nope.
Not yet. Not yet. I would tell you.
He's okay. waiting on the elevator to get.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. All right. So
the darn teleporter's not working up to the station.
So yeah. Spoilers, we're gonna have somebody else join us as well, and maybe another surprise or two. So we'll see what we can do. But let's get some business out of the way first while we're waiting for that. We are a proud member of the ESO Network. We have a TeePublic store filled with all kinds of cool stuff, including very cool design for the DragonCon Report podcast. It's that logo that you see, right? I'm not sure where to point, but it's like at the top of the screen there.
Top right-hand corner.
That way. Yep. That way. There's a link for that at this week's episode show notes. And I think we're going to try to use our banner to give a link to that ESO Network page. So you can go there and just click on the top of the page. You'll see the TeePublic link there. So just use that. We also have a Patreon page, and a lot of patrons of the ESO Network support us because of the DragonCon Report, and we really appreciate that. So anything else exciting going on in the world of patrons? Mike?
Always. There's always something exciting going on with the patrons. You know, ESO Bored Silly is just bored and silly. It's pretty darn awesome. And, you know, that's available, the new episode, and probably next week sometime, you also have a new episode of Rants and Raves, where right. Mike and I actually get to talk about Atlanta traffic. So it's going to be a blast.
So that's a rant.
That's there's not going to be much to rave about there. So yes, that might be for, that might not be not safe for work.
Oh, it's on Patreon. It's okay. And yes, you too could be part of the Patreon by going to patreon.com/ESO Network.
Absolutely.
It's pretty darn awesome. And you know what? You have a link right now on the bottom of our page. It's pretty darn awesome. Isn't this fancy, folks?
Very fancy.
It is. And you
And Patreon, I misspelled it.
Yeah. Spell? Yeah. Yeah. And some of us have to learn how to spell sometime.
You can also help us support our show by leaving a review.
Support us by sending me to spelling school.
On whatever platform you're listening to or watching us, including YouTube, Facebook, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, Audible, like there's a bunch. So if you're listening to us or watching us, please feel free to leave us a review, comment. We love those. And in addition, you can always access past episodes. This is our fifth one. So if you need to catch up and get ready for the con, you can get the past episodes at DragonConReport.com. And if you'd like to leave us direct feedback or comment on the show, you can email us directly at feedback@DragonConReport.com. We're also available on all the social medias as well. We've got a Facebook page, Twitter account, Instagram. We are as available as we can be. Still working on the TikTok thing, right? Right, Mike?
Oh yeah, you know, Darren has been meaning to show me how to use it, so you know.
Now, I do need to let everybody know who's watching and listening that the Dragon Con Report is an unofficial podcast of the con. We are not and never have been officially connected with Dragon Con. So for all the official news, we strongly recommend checking out the official site and social media outlets. So with that said, let's get started with some news and notes. First off, as we like to keep track of the membership rates, for the whole weekend of Dragon Con, currently the membership rate is $140. It's going to be that through 6/17. Anybody know how much it's going to be after that? It usually goes up like
$1 billion. Okay.
great things so, are going right now. I wouldn't be surprised with inflation.
I would guess at least $15 more.
At least 15 or 20.
Yeah, 15 to 20 is the usual increments.
We do know it's going to go up. So yes. if you're planning to attend and you haven't got your membership yet, get your membership. That's the first thing.
It never goes down. So that's
so
until you're at con and you're getting tickets for the next year.
Yep.
Yes. they said that actually the note that I have here says final pricing after the 17th will be determined and announced prior to June 1st. Ooh. So now a $5 processing fee will be applied to all memberships. So it's really $145. and Dragon Con memberships are non-refundable and non-transferable. So once you buy them, they're yours to keep. We did have a question that we that was pointed out to us that was sent our way. Has it been announced yet if there will be on-site ticket sales available this year, on-site memberships?
No.
And the DragonCon admin responded with the following. We are 100% online now, even day of at the event. So as some folks have already said, single day membership is still pending. They haven't decided if they're doing single day membership yet or what days those might be. Not all the days or quantities are guaranteed. So if you want to make sure you have access to Dragon Con, the full weekend membership is the only safe bet. And they have yet to cap weekend membership. So get your membership now while you still can. So the other date that we want to keep everyone in mind of is that the guests and attending pro application does run out on the 15th of June. So by the time the next time we record, that deadline will have been met. So if you're thinking about attending or want to try to attend as a guest or attending pro, get your application in now.
And starting next month will be the Dragon Con guest list. So yes. Be prepared, folks.
Yeah. Buy your whiskey now.
Yeah. We got some guests being announced actually today by the con, but yeah. Next month, you get to have your drink along with us.
If you, if you go to DragonCon.com or DragonCon.org, rather, they do have some guests listed already, some attending pros listed as well. These are not your. How should I say it? A-listers? Is that fair?
I would say they're probably not
wow.
Media stars.
These aren't the ones that look. I'm on the list. All right, so I'm talking about myself here, right? So like, I was fortunate enough and honored enough to once again be granted access as a. Guest, and I appreciate that so far. So there's a lot of folks that, we're not the ones that get the like nice little placard on the Facebook page or anything like that. But
we can't hold Voltaire.
Yes, exactly. We can't hold Voltaire. And you know what? I think I might be going, I might be, have attended Dragon Con longer than he has.
You know what? I say we make our own placards.
Yes, well. That can be done, sure. So be prepared that next month we will give you the highlighted version, not list all 300 or however many we have by that point. Because, yes, they are starting to make announcements. Now, I guess that's the real news. They're starting to make announcements. It's interesting. Didn't they hint at the last town meeting that there was going to be some announcements, like Trek-related, that people were going to be excited by?
Yeah, they want to do it as a group, so they're just waiting for all the contracts.
Right.
To get
so they haven't they, but they haven't announced that yet, right?
No.
So they sort of teased us, but it doesn't look like that's been announced just yet. But as it happens, there is an official town hall meeting this Thursday, which
of course
if you're
there
watching,
is.
If yes, I know, if you're watching
live, it'll be this Thursday.
Yes, if you're watching us live, it'll be tune in Thursday. If you're listening to us later, when the audio podcast version, or just anytime after Thursday the 26th, you want to go back and watch the town hall meeting, because I'm sure that there's news that's going to come out. With that, I know they're going to talk about changes to the gaming area. I'm sure they're going to announce some guests along the way take that opportunity to announce some guests. And of course, they're always entertaining. They're going to be broadcasting live from MomoCon, so that's pretty exciting. So look for that. We do have a question here. Is capacity still capped, or can we use the elevators again? The last thing I heard is that they are setting a goal of 60,000, no more than 60,000, but that is tentative. I think they're waiting to
announce at the volunteer meeting.
Yeah, that was what was announced at the volunteer meeting, but it is tentative. I mean, it depends. Yeah. I mean, they're already the pandemic pendulum is swinging another way. So,
now we have monkeypox.
Now we have.
Yay.
Which doesn't even
so don't
sound
go
like
be a- licking any monkeys. Go there.
Hey, people, just wash your frickin' hands. How difficult is this?
So obviously there's a lot in play there. So I can't, I wouldn't say that's set in stone how many people they're going to have. I mean, if everything is all clear, are they going to push for more than 60? Maybe, the plan is to try to cap it and not go full bore this year, because after last year, it would be a shock to all of us.
Oh my God.
Yeah. No, 60,000 would still be 60,000 would still be nice.
Yes.
I still remember the calmness of 60,000. So
I agree.
It was nice to be able to walk through the Marriott without touching another human being.
Oh my gosh.
On a Saturday,
you could stand in the middle of the floor of the Marriott and put your arms out and go in a circle and not hit anybody. It was incredible. Well,
and Saturday night, which is usually a wall and you just want to avoid the Marriott, you could still walk through there and actually see all the badass costumes where everybody posts up to have their photos taken. And I didn't feel like running away crying because of the crush people.
And people could actually get into America's Mart to shop. Without waiting
they still had the fire marshal there. Don't worry, they booked quite a few times.
The fire marshal was there, and there was a line to get in at times,
right?
Into America,
but it was
Mart.
nothing compared to
the normal. No, not at all.
So that's why we're suggesting to get if you're thinking about going, get your tickets, get your memberships now, because you never know what's going to happen. The only other piece of news that I have is that, we talked about this, I think a little bit last month, but, tickets for the Dragon Con Invades Georgia Aquarium are on sale now. And, they are both the regular general admission ticket as well as the VIP admission are still available.
And if you like adult libations, the VIP ticket is totally worth it.
Yeah. For people, and they will go up. If you're thinking about going to that, the VIP usually sells out. So if you're thinking about going, definitely look in. If you're thinking about going VIP, get those as soon as you can. But the general admission sometimes sells out as well. But regardless, even if there are passes left, they are going to go up in price after the 1st of July. So right now, general admission for Dragon Con Night at Georgia Aquarium is $35. It will be $40. After the 1st of July, and the VIP admission is $100, and after the 1st of July, that will be $110.
Yeah, so I don't think it's ever
you can
to
you
July,
can drink
though.
You can so, drink that much. That's easy.
I was going to say. So you can get make sure you get your drink on for that extra what is it $65?
You pre-game
compared to the price of what you're paying in the GA bars.
Yeah.
You are going to get your money's worth. And at least last year, the food was fabulous. Oh, I do want to point out, unlike the Dragon Con memberships themselves, if you buy tickets to the aquarium, something happens, you are able to transfer those.
Oh,
for the aquarium only, not anything else related to DragonCon, just the aquarium party. Because we had some people who couldn't go last year, and I was able to just transfer it at cost to one of my friends. It's not like ID specific with your party passes.
That's handy. I mean, a bucket of rum is what, like $12 plus tip now at the Hyatt.
Yeah,
give or take.
And you gotta add extra rum to it. So
yeah. So yeah, that's
just three imagine buckets what of rum. It'll be this year. 15. It's like a cocktail in Manhattan.
That's why you pregame in your room.
Well, yeah, buckets of rum are going to probably be close to $20 this year. I would not be surprised if anyone's still doing those.
Yeah,
I still get my commemorative one each year, and then. Well, we talked about it. I go to our friend's bartender. You go to your guy.
You got a hookup. Yeah.
But then Jen doesn't remember the rest of the con. So
No. They're not that strong. They just taste like there's alcohol in them.
That's important. That is important.
Unlike the big batch Mai Tais they make on the patio at Trader Vic's, where after too many of those, it really is like, okay, how long have I been here?
What year is it?
Is it still Thursday?
suddenly you're number five from Umbrella Academy.
Wow.
All right. So that's all the major news. There was, we already did like talked about guest announcements, but they did actually announce two performers that are scheduled to appear at Dragon Con. They did that through the Facebook page, the Dragon Con Facebook page, the social media. Voltaire is returning. And
magnificent bastard.
And MC Chris is going to be there as well.
Cool.
So and now we are joined by Kevin.
Oh, well, Kevin's at the Marriott. Look at that.
Guys, I thought we were meeting like right here.
Sorry,
before the show, my computer went into this long, slow, crazy restarting process, and here I am. Sorry.
Well, we are glad to have you with us, Kevin.
Great to be here.
Finally. so that's all the, like I said, all the major news that I have. Anybody else have any other news items or anything else that they picked up over the last month? That's a no.
No.
No, you hit everything I wrote down.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
I was thorough.
I love what Andy Duckman just put. He can't believe 9 years and never got a bucket of rum. What have I done with my life?
It's never too late, Andy. It's never too
late. It's because you're in the Hilton with the over 40 gang the whole time. Not that I'm complaining, because we all want to go there and get our rubber duckies.
Yes.
I'm glad to run into both you and the Duck Fairy. Or
absolutely.
The Man and Duck Fairy, yeah.
Sue,
I'll bring you one this year, Duck Man. Sorry.
Sue, what's going on with the in the newbies group?
Well, things quite haven't picked up speed yet but this is the time of year that they do. New members every day, influxes whenever we're mentioned in the main group. But for any newbies who might be watching, I think right now there are three things that should be on your radar. The first is if you are flying to Atlanta, start looking at airfare prices. Historically, pre-pandemic, cheapest airfare was typically about 90 days before your departure date. We don't really know what that's going to be now, but I checked my dates today and they were $70 each way. So
that's not bad. That's very cheap.
Not bad at all. So, you know, start looking at airfare and setting those price alerts.
So we're not too far apart. Can I just hide in your luggage?
Especially if she does Southwest, it's a free bag, so it's okay.
Yeah, that's true. It's two
I'll
free
be right
bags.
Over.
I that's do true. Do Southwest. Southwest is my favorite way to fly to Dragon Con because of the luggage. So item number two, speaking of luggage, is actually if you are a cosplayer, you're going to laugh at me because we all talk about it and we never do it. Make your plan now.
See? Not going to happen.
Here's the thing, though. This is why I suggest it. And I know I'm not going to do it either. But we look at the calendar and we say, I got 100 days, no big deal. But, you know, if you work a 9-to-5, you only got weekends. And then you've got stuff you've probably planned on some of those weekends. So those 100 days for me can turn into like 5 weekends, 10 days. So if you don't make your plan now, you're going to be like the rest of us, you know, going to Joann Fabrics at 3 a.m. and trying to break in a week before con. So don't do that. Make your plan now.
Yeah, the newbie should plan. It's us veterans.
Yeah.
Just throw all the rules out.
Why are we out of teal thread? Why is Atlanta out of teal thread? Damn it.
Do have the craft and fabric places wised up like 2 weeks before Dragon Con? Have they like scale up everything?
I've noticed the CVS definitely stocks up on like individual Febreze for Dragon Con weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad thing.
Okay. So thing number three, and it actually leads into your main topic for today. How fancy is that? Is if you are interested in being a panelist or pitching a panel idea, now is the time to reach out to track directors because they are starting to get their schedules in order and are going to need to submit those very soon, I believe. So. Mm. Now's the time to figure out which fan tracks you might be interested in. Follow them on social media, reach out to the track director and volunteers and see how you can get involved. Yes. So 1, 2, 3, travel, costumes, fan panels.
Right. And what an excellent segue into our main topic. So did you plan that? Come on. Say you did. Yes, you did. Right.
I didn't. But then I saw the topic of this. And I was like, great. I'm a professional.
Absolutely.
Look it up in the book. She's a professional.
And whether you are going to Dragon Con for the first time or whether you have been going for over 20 years like myself, be a member of the Dragon the newbies group because you always learn something. I mean, I don't think we're ever too well. You're never too old to learn something, and at my age, you need to be reminded of things too. So it works. Yes, things are always changing.
Always.
I think this year is going to be interesting too. I think it's going to be a lot different from last year in a lot of ways. So that's all the news and notes. So we're going to take a quick break for those people who are listening to us on the audio. And then we are going to return with our main topic.
Describe this show. Like, what's really going to grab people's attention and make them tune in?
Nerdgasm for your eargasm?
What?
The spice must flow to be in the know. Don't be a willow. Grab your pillow.
But that one doesn't even make sense.
All right, stop. Snag a seat and listen. The nerds are back with a brand new edition.
No!
Okay, then. The Blurred Nerds Podcast. Rants, raves, reviews, recaps, and other bits of random fandom.
Well, see, that's perfect. You should have just led with that one.
Resistance is futile. Listen to the Blurred Nerds Podcast, right? Meow.
Fine. Make it so.
Welcome back, everybody. And now it's time for the main topic. We are, as advertised, we're going to talk about fan panels, everything you want to know about fan panels, but we're afraid to ask, or even we're not afraid to ask. We talked about celebrity panels and moderating those with Tony last month, and that was great. But we also, I know a lot of people. There's a lot of people that think that Dragon Con is all about the fan panels, which, of course, it is a big element of Dragon Con, but it's also something that I get asked about a lot. I got an email not too long ago. I'm not going to say who it's from because I don't know if he or she wants their handle out there, but they basically said, They said they're a huge fan of Dragon Con Report, so yay, thank you for that. But they wanted some advice on getting on a panel at Dragon Con. They don't have any other panel experience. They've never done a panel before, but they're really interested. There's certain topics that they love, are passionate about, certain shows or movies or whatever that they really appreciate, and they think they have something to offer. And they're wondering how you prepare for a panel. Do you rewatch the show, take notes, et cetera, et cetera? What advice do you have? So, and I find that this is not an uncommon question. I mean, I'm sure everybody who's on, all six of us, have done fan panels. It is something that when I first went to Dragon Con, those many, 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 many moons ago, I did go to some fan panels. And to be honest with you, my reaction to the fan panels was kind of mixed. There were some that I went to that were outstanding, and there were some that I went to where I came out going, literally saying, did they even watch the show? Like, it was just not a great experience. Some of those experiences turned me off a little bit to fan panels. But then I was introduced to the American Classic Sci-Fi track and found how fan panels should be. Now, that's not to say that they're the only track that does fan panels right, because that is far from the case. I have seen and been part of a lot of panels through a lot of tracks on Dragon Con. And we've talked to a lot of track directors, and there's some great stuff going on in every track room. Every track room is its own convention. And has huge followings and has great stuff happening. It's really an embarrassment of riches, right? Because a lot of times you're like, wow, which one do I go to? But let's start with you, Kevin. What was your first sort of fan panel experience like?
Yeah, my first time being a panelist at Dragon Con was 2011. I believe, and that was for the American Sci-Fi Fantasy Media track. It was about Smallville, the show, which was just ending at that time. It went really well, and so I started getting more and more involved with the convention.
Did you get on that panel? Had you been to Dragon Con before? Was it something that, like, had you done panels at other conventions before?
I'd done some things at other conventions. Yeah. But the way I got on that first panel was simply finding through social media that the track director for that track, Kelly, was just put out the word that if anyone is interested in being a panelist for this track, and she had a website and a survey set up where you go and look at what's available and you put in your information, it goes into a database and she would go through there and pick out her panelists. And she was very welcoming about the whole process and said, even if you don't have professional credits in this area, put your experience down. Tell us what your experience is. If your experience is, I'm an enthusiastic fan, that's okay. That's an acceptable experience to do a panel. And she will take a chance on new people. And if you're great, she'll keep using you.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I found that I only say almost because I haven't actually talked physically to every single track director at Dragon Con. So I have to know, but I do know that every track director that I've talked to at Dragon Con is very open to ideas for tracks, as Sue was talking about. Now is the time to get them in. As well as participants in those. Now some are more popular than others, obviously. And we all know that American Classics Sci-Fi with Gary and Joe, they just, all you have to do is ask and you're on the panel pretty much.
Half the time you don't even have to ask. They just put you.
That's true. That's
true. Hey, you're in the room. You know about this. Get up here.
I think the only qualification is you have to be in the room.
Interesting. You should say that.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me jumping in here.
No, absolutely.
My very first panel experience at Dragon Con was a panel I wasn't supposed to be on because I was in the room and Gary put me on it.
There you go.
I was scheduled to do three others that year, and I had just introduced myself. It was the first time we met in person. and somebody didn't show up. So Friday morning, I found myself on a panel I hadn't prepared for as my very first experience.
Wow.
In true classic track nature.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, when I was talking to this person who sent the email, I did throw out there that if people are able to attend smaller cons in their area locally or whatever, it might be a better idea to get panel experience there first before jumping in the deep waters that is Dragon Con. Because, you know, if you're certainly intimidated by crowds or public speaking of any kind or whatever, you know, Dragon Con, those rooms are usually full no matter what the topic is. So it's a lot of people that will be there and are looking at you. You know, I think fan panels have a little bit more leeway than panels with, we'll say, professionals or celebrities on them. But
they're a lot more informal too.
Absolutely. They're a lot more informal. Yeah. And I think that there's ways that, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but there's certain things that I think are make a good fan panel and better than others anyway. But Jen, what about you? Because I know you've had some panel experience as well.
Well, do we count judging in a fan track as a panel experience?
Are we always judging?
I'm constantly judging.
I mean, being a judge for
an official judge.
Yeah, I think that's technically something else, but.
You can just be judgmental just in general. So it's
okay. Sure, yeah. Sure. There's certainly a lot of panelists are.
Yeah,
I'm a Scorpio, so yes, I'm always judging.
I'm right there with you.
My first fan panel at Dragon Con is actually with you guys on the Galaxy Quest anniversary panel.
Really?
Wow!
Wow!
I mean, I've been to plenty of panels. I've done workshops. I've been involved in costume contests that are held within a track. You know, not the bigger ones. And I've done fan panels at other conventions, but yeah, at Dragon Con. I've been asked before. Y'all's is the first I've agreed to. So,
wow. Okay. Now we feel privileged.
Wow.
I thought we were giving her an honor. Now I feel like we're the ones.
Yep, exactly.
Well, it was a subject because I don't like to be involved in conversations. If I don't feel like I can add something to it. As a watcher of a panel, I can tell when somebody up there is a filler. Mm-hmm. You know, like you were saying earlier, where you're like, has this person ever seen this show? Like, I don't want to be that person on a panel. So,
well, that's some of the worst.
I've probably seen that. I probably watch it at least 15 times every year since it came out. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that I can talk about. Or, you know, if you put me on a costuming panel, I can talk about that all day. Or a music panel. Mm-hmm. So
I have unfortunately been placed on panels where I knew very little. Actually, a couple of those were one of my favorite panels that I was on because it just turned out to be something that I don't think anybody expected. But Darren, what about you? I know you've had some experience with the fan panels as well.
I have. I started doing fan panels at Dragon Con in the Star Trek, the track room. Mm. We were talking about the missing minority, the LGBTQ world of Star Trek, in which, hey, we're supposed to be advanced now. Why aren't there gay people on the bridge? That was a constant question. And I did that for a while. And then I felt like I had said everything I could possibly say about it because we had done it for like 6 or 7 years. And I was like, it's time for me to step back from that panel and do something different because I think you've got to keep everything fresh. I mean, no one's going to keep coming to the panel to see me say the same thing again. So I think it's important that if you're going to be on a fan panel, one, that you know the material as thoroughly as possible because everyone else is going to know the material if they're coming to that panel.
Mm-hmm.
And I know sometimes, yes, they do put filler people up in there because they want it to look, and I've been a filler person too. I know that. And that's when I just kind of, yeah, because that's kind of your, like, your role at that point, because you're going to open your mouth, you're going to say something wrong, and someone's going to say, no, in episode 23 in season 3, that didn't happen. And you're going to be like, oh, sorry.
Sorry, you know? I did that to you, Darren.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's okay. I'm over it. So I just think it's always an honor to be asked, for sure. You want to say yes, as long as it's something you're comfortable with doing. I think you do need to know the director and kind of get a feel for that room maybe first before you do that, because you want to make sure this is kind of a room you jive in, you know, just because you're a big fan of X property doesn't mean you're a big fan of Y people working in the band room too. So that kind of charisma mix needs to happen, and it needs to come out good for both sides, I think, in order for that to be good. But it's kind of what Tony said last time we met. It's not so much the fan paneling, it's the interaction with the crowd that's important. And so drawing those questions out, getting good interaction, because you can have a panel 8 in the morning, Joe, 8 in the morning, in which people are still hungover and not wanting to talk. And you're like, come on, interact with us, you know. Mm-hmm. But the 7 p.m., 8 p.m. panels are going to be rocking and rolling. So you got to be ready for that energy, you know. We did a Little Shop of Horrors a couple of years back. That was great. That was a great room. We were all singing along. I could do that panel every year for another 10 years. It was wonderful.
Right. But... It was our first Dragon Con sing along, purposely.
Yep. Exactly. So that was great. Yeah, I've had panels that aren't so great. I think it's your mileage is going to vary, and just open yourself up to the possibility. If one doesn't work out, don't say, oh, that was bad. Just say, hey, let's do better next time and move on. You know, that's what you got to do.
Also, I think sometimes that we are afraid to say no, and that if we say no, we are be asked again,
exactly.
And don't do that. Like, right. I've been the filler person for sure. I have faked my way through some panels. I don't do it anymore. If I'm asked to fill a seat, I've been asked by Kelly, you know, I know you can take care of this room, and I know you can moderate, and I know you can handle the crowd. And I'm like, yes, but I don't know this show. So I'll tell her that, and I'll say, I understand what you're saying, that you want somebody you can trust on a potentially, I don't know, heated panel, but I'm not going to be able to help you here. Mm-hmm. Then whenever I have to do that, though, I always try to recommend somebody else.
And I've been in that position too. And I've always found it best to confess up front. Hi, everyone. I'm the moderator. And I look forward to learning a lot about this topic today.
Yeah.
And let's introduce our guests and let's move this along, because no one wants to hear you talk about nothing.
That's a whole other aspect of this though, right?
Yep.
It's like, what makes a good moderator? Is the moderator host a panelist?
Right.
Or is the moderator a host? Are they there to facilitate discussion between the panel and the audience? Are they there to ask the audience questions? Are they there to participate in the discussion? And every panel can have a different
yeah,
moderation style. And every person, every moderator can have a different or multiple moderation styles depending on the panel.
I was on a panel at a different convention many years ago where the moderator was so deadly serious. And this was supposed to be a fun topic, but it was just so rigid and structured. And now you will speak. And now the next, it felt like a debate with formal debate. And now you have a 2-minute rebuttal. And it just sucked all the fun and all the energy out of the room. Moderation, to be the moderator, it can mean so many different things, because it can be someone who's kind of removed from the panel and just kind of orchestrating the speakers, or the moderator is often one of the panelists as well, and that both methods can work depending on the situation. It's really moderating. I've done a lot of it, and I always let the directors know, I can moderate. I'm happy to moderate if you need me to. But it's multitasking. It's making sure all the panelists have a chance to speak, that no one's dominating the conversation too much and no one's just being locked out. So you're keeping an eye on how much speaking everyone's doing. It's watching the clock. How much time do we have left? When do we go to audience questions? It's keeping the audience in line, making sure you're not losing control of the room with people just screaming things out. It's a lot, but it's satisfying as well to run a successful panel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be really.
And that's what I was sort of referring to. The panels that I was on that I didn't have a lot of experience in the topic, I became the moderator of. And but I went in with the, like as Darren pointed out, I went in with the, you know, the concept like, look, this isn't, I don't really know a lot. So I'm depending on you guys and to explain it to me and hopefully help the people that are in the audience as well. And to sort of be that, you know, referee between the panelists and the audience and make sure one audience member doesn't dominate all the questions, because that can happen. Because we get, you get some really enthusiastic audience members, some of which who want to be panelists. So yeah. they make that very clear in the audience. So so you want to make sure that each panelist has time to talk and express themselves, but also the audience gets to participate as much as possible as well.
Yeah, because the rules can be very different for a fan panel versus a celebrity panel as far as audience participation. Because if David Tennant is on stage, we don't want someone at the audience mic giving a speech or
no.
stating there. It's just, what's your question? Everybody's there to watch David Tennant speak. Fan panel is a little different. Nobody came to watch me speak when I'm on a fan panel. They're here for the subject.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more latitude in the people in the room. Everybody in the room can share their, make a comment. It doesn't have to be a question. It can be a comment. You know,
totally.
You want to hear what everybody has to say within reason. You also want to control the room. There should still be a difference between the panel and the audience.
Right. Right. Mike, I haven't asked you yet. Again, I know we've talked about it on our show, on our Station One, as well as on Dragon Con Report before, but just for people who are listening or watching for the first time, what was your first fan panel experience like?
My first fan panel basically was being thrown into the wolves by the Brit Track people. I had, you know, basically volunteer to be on whatever panel Carol wanted me to be on, because I had been going to Dragon Con probably like 5 years, 6 years before this already. And it's like, these guys could do it. I know as much as these guys do. So why not volunteer to do, you know, a Doctor Who panel? You know, I considered myself, you know, fairly knowledgeable on the topic and everything. And so Carol said, hey, I'm going to put you on a panel where you're going to be debating Peter David about Star Trek versus Doctor Who. And there were a couple
Did you like tender your resignation immediately?
Yeah, did you just wave the white flag right in the start?
You just join his side.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, Peter, you win.
End of debate. There is no debate.
Let's talk about Star Trek.
It's like, you know,
turn it to a Star Trek panel in the Brit Tracks room.
I turn every panel
into panel. We were actually in the big ballroom that's over by the behind the escalators in the Hilton. You know, the one that's you know, back there. And so it wasn't even the small little room. It was the big room I got thrown into. And so I was up there on stage. There was a few other folks up there with me, but I was the main defender of Doctor Who.
You were the antagonist of the day, yes.
Exactly. And so it was fun. It was a really, really neat experience. It was the first time I met Alan Seiler. It was the first time I met Robert Ray. You know, there was quite a few folks who, Joseph Campbell was up there too, I think, if I remember correctly. And, you know,
Not the Joseph Campbell.
Joe Campbell.
Joe Campbell. Just before anyone like Joseph Campbell went to Dragon Con.
Yeah. Exactly. No. So it was really interesting, and it was a fun panel. And, you know, Caro came up afterwards. Thank you so much for doing this. We really appreciated it. You were really good. And it's like, put me on more Doctor Who panels, please, but not with Peter David.
And gee, so, I'm not sure why she needed somebody. I'm not sure. People would be jumping at the chance to do that.
No, they ran. That's what happened. They ran. This is what happened to Mike.
Then she's like, I need somebody who has no idea. Oh, Mike.
Hi, sucker. You know, yeah.
And so, you need me, you say?
Exactly.
So, yeah. And so it was a real interesting experience. And then from there, you know, we started our Station One the next year. And so literally we started doing the podcast stuff with it, and the rest is history. And I've had fun, and I've been on panels where I've been moderating, and then there's others where I've been on with other moderators. And it's interesting because when they're really bad moderators, I want to take charge and everything. I want to be the person to jump in. And I sometimes have to stop myself from doing that because it's in my personality to, you know, be the face in a lot of ways, but mm-hmm. I don't want to be, because, you know, it's somebody else's panel and everything. And even if they're doing a crap job, you don't do that. You don't ever say that to the people there at the con. You wait till after you're up in the ESO room on Sunday evening drinking apple pie and, you know, then talking about it.
That's what Twitter is for, Mike. That's what Twitter is for.
True. These are,
see, right now we're getting, like, this is, these are examples of why we're not an official podcast.
Oh, there's many reasons we're not an official podcast.
So, for the record, if I haven't already said it, my first panel was, I think the first year that I was a guest at Dragon Con, and it was in the American Classic Sci-Fi room. This was the year before Joe and Gary took over. But it was, it was the year before, and there was I think movies of 1982 panel. So it must've been an anniversary of some kind. So maybe it was, I don't know. Anyway, there were so many panelists, and this is before Joe and Gary took over. There were so many panelists, like I was sitting like basically on the stairs to get on the stage, you know? it was crazy, but whoever was doing the moderating did a really good job because they made sure that we all sort of got, our say. And it was a pretty cool experience. And like I said, that sort of changed my opinion on how fan panels could be run, because I could see that they were getting the audience involved. I could see that, you know, everybody on stage had a passion for what they were talking about and knowledge, which, in some of the other panels I'd been to, fan panels, was not the case. And now I'm not saying that this can't happen, but I have no interest in going to a fan panel with people who are who do not like the subject that they're talking about, like passionately do not like the subject they're talking about. I'm not saying that, you know, it has to be a love fest, but I prefer like sort of celebrations of mm-hmm. things rather than tearing of down of things. And so those are the panels that I'm attracted to. There are some, I know that there are some panelists out there, and there's some panels that feature. I mean, there's some things that are definitely contentious and they're debatable, you know, not just the Star Trek and Doctor Who thing, but other like more serious subjects, right, that are worthy of attention in the panel room. But as far as like, if you're talking about like, yo, let's talk about season 4 of, you know, X-Files or whatever, you know, like, I mean, not everybody has to be like 100% like glowing about it, but it would be helpful if there was, you know, if everybody on the panel wasn't tearing it down, because if you really love a show, if you really love something mm-hmm. and you want to like express that love, you want to go to a place where everybody else that you know, that everybody else is loving it as well. You want to have that safe space, then you go to that panel. And instead, if everybody's tearing it down, that really puts you in a bad place. And I did unfortunately feel that a couple of times, and I did feel that in Dragon Con in the early years that I went, which really sucked. I didn't like that, because for the most part, I did feel at home at Dragon Con. I just didn't feel particularly at home and welcome at some of the panels that I went to. So, so those are the things that I've taken with me as to not how to not do a panel, right? But we get questions, like I said, that this person asked about, like, questions about how do you prepare for a panel? If you're a panelist, I know it's a little different if you're a moderator.
Can we back up and go into how do you get on a panel?
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. So
the reason I always want to bring that
practice,
up is because
practice.
No, that's Carnegie Hall, fam.
Isn't the same thing?
You said really early on, each track room is its own convention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That goes not only for programming, but for policies. Right.
Yes.
And that's the reason I always want to answer this question, even when it's not asked, because every track director is going to do it differently. Caro in the Brit track puts out a panelist application. I think Kelly does now as well. Kelly and sci-fi media,
yes.
Sci-fi and fantasy media. Some of the others just post make a Facebook post in their group, mm-hmm. and say, who's interested in being a panelist? Reach out mm-hmm. to me. Mm-hmm. Some of them have a Facebook group and say, like, this is for prospective panelists. Join it. Some of them have a Discord channel. And even yet, some of them don't advertise at all. And you just have to go, hey, I want to do something on that track. So let me email them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, if you've been a couple times, if you're familiar with the track and the track director, I think the best thing to do is at a current con, ask them how they choose their panelists for the next con, which of course doesn't help for this upcoming year, but you can do that over Facebook Messenger. You can do that over email.
Sure.
And just sort of, I always think it's best to express your interest one-on-one. And then when they see your name come up again, however they choose their panelists or their panels, it's a bit of a reminder.
Yeah, I think it shows a personal investment in commitment to doing it.
It's more of a familiar from what you're asking for. You're becoming a name. That's the panel, you know, the panel host or the track director is familiar with, because you're participating in that group, or you're just not coming into that group cold. It's, you know, it's pretty awesome when you can do something like that. And like you said, Sue, get your name out there, get your face out there, and, you know, become, you know, not a friend of it, but it's like you're applying to go to a separate con completely.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if the director never sees you in their track room and you suddenly want to be on all their panels, it's probably not going to happen.
No. Right. It's not like Joe Crow who goes, okay, you and you will be on this panel.
Yeah. Yeah. Each track is operated differently. Mm-hmm. And I think they're all operated fairly.
We love you, Joe.
but they're going to be looking for different things. And, and there are a number of different kinds of panels that happen in each track. So they are looking for different kinds of folks for certain things. And there might be some where they've got one subject and they've got certain people that they know, but they want to bring in an alternate voice or that kind of thing. But I definitely agree with Sue. Like, you need to reach out to the tracks, the individual track, and starting now, like at social media, like join their groups, interact, you know, like the posts or reach out to them, private message or whatever you have to do, but let yourself like be known to them, introduce yourself to them. And that's the start. And then, and if you can like show up at the track room, a couple times at least in the convention, or better yet, like if you really want to invest some time, volunteer, offer to volunteer for that track, because every track needs people. And sometimes they only need people like for a couple hours and a couple of days. So you can get experience right from that track room on how a track room operates, just like at the basic level.
Well, let me also put this out there too. You might apply to be on maybe 20 tracks or, you know, or in 20 panels, and don't be disappointed if you don't get every single one you apply for. Because, you know, you might apply for Brit Tracks and try to be on every single Doctor Who panel there is. They want to also get a variety of individuals and voices on these panels and everything. Right. And also, you know, take it from somebody who does a minimum of 14 to 16 panels at the cons. You know, you want to try to rest part of the time or sleep. You want to actually enjoy the con too. You know, it's not just panel, 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 panel. You know, when I tell people, oh, this year I got 18 panels, people look at me, when are you going to sleep? You know, that type of thing. And it's true, because you need to be able to focus on that. And also at the same time, you know, eat and, you know, try to rest a little bit too. So it's, you know, as you're doing this, you can, you know, enjoy yourself And, you know, but also I love talking to the panels. I love being in front of the people and talking about topics I know about and love. And it's, you know, it's a, you know, win-win situation being able to do something like that. But at the same time, you want to give other people the chance too. Mm-hmm. It's right. not, it's, this is not Mike Faber's Dragon Con or something like
right.
that.
You know? Plus, the more panels you do, the more restricted your own schedule becomes.
Yep.
Exactly. Exactly.
And also, you know, not only reach out to the track directors and the tracks, you know, and social media and everything, but if you see a panel and, you know, talk to the people that, and you enjoy it, talk to the people who did that panel. Like, you know, reach out to panelists like ourselves. Like, that's like, we love that. I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but it's like, you know, if someone comes up to me and says, man, you guys did a really good job on that panel, and ask me further questions about things like that, of that nature, I'm like, that's awesome. Thank you. So, there's that. Go ahead.
To all this is, of course, if you are going to be on a panel and you commit to being on a panel, show up.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We had someone, I'm not sure who, but someone in the comments, I think it's a little ways away, but said that, you know, they've had panelists like disappear. Yeah. Not showing up all the time. And that happens. And, you know, unfortunately, with something like Dragon Con, so many parts, so many moving parts, sometimes they just can't come together. And sometimes you're on a panel and you think it's going to be with four other people and it's just you.
You.
No, yes.
Didn't that happen to you last year,
Mike? It did. That is a voice from experience there. Well, even worse is that the panelists didn't show up and only one person showed up in the audience. So I was like, so I'm like, you know what? Let's just go to my table.
That's a typical ESO panel anyway, so it's okay.
But yeah, a panelist will occasionally not show up, and it's not always just somebody just blowing off a panel or forgetting oversleeping. Or there can be legitimate reasons that people can't be.
Yeah, they could be in the room next door or something like that.
Sometimes someone might accidentally go to the wrong room. That's true.
I'm sorry. Is hungover like a legitimate reason or not?
Yes.
If the panels are in the vendor hall and the fire marshal
and you can't get in,
well, that's not a thing anymore.
That only happened that one year. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you do blow off panels regularly because you've decided you'd rather be somewhere else, don't expect to be on panels anymore.
Yeah.
And it also speaks to that. I think we were going to go into preparing for panels and. I prepare a lot. I think a lot of people on this group right now do a lot of preparing for their panels. And if a bunch of people for whatever reason don't show up for the panel, you could find yourself doing a lot more talking than you were planning. And if I thought there were going to be five of us, but now there's two of us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's probably happened to all of us at some point. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm super prepared for my panels most of the time, and I'll have things prepared to say that I'm not going to have time to get to all this stuff, but I have it there in case I need it. And once in a while you do need a lot of material because some people aren't there.
It's like prepping for a D&D session. You don't know where the players are going to take you, but you better be prepared to go there.
Right.
At this point, I used to wing it way more often than I do now, but I don't at all. I prep at this point for every panel as if I will end up being the moderator, even if I'm not supposed to, because I have wound up being the moderator when I wasn't supposed to.
And often you don't know who's going to be on the panel. Sometimes you know who your other panelists are. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's people you've worked with many times. And man, if I showed up for a panel and I saw everybody on this call right now, I would be delighted because I know these people and you're all fantastic. Sometimes you're meeting someone for the first time, literally 20 seconds before the panel starts. Mm-hmm. You don't know anything about them and you don't know, are they going to be great or are they going to be a problem? And you've got to feel them out live in front of an audience. Mm-hmm. One thing I do, a little tip, is in my notes, I'll have paper and my notes in front of me. I'll jot down the names of all the panelists on the panel with me in the order that they're seated. So I have a quick reference so that you're not going to slip up and get somebody's name wrong. I found that to be very helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I try to like, because of my experience with going to fan panels that was not a positive experience, I decided that if I'm on a panel, if I'm chosen and I'm honored to be on a fan panel, I need to bring something to the table, like literally that panel room. and so I always make sure, no matter what the subject is, that I always, and I, nowadays I have to write them down. I think before I was kind of, I was able to not write them down, but, you know, whatever. Whatever. Now I have to write them down, but I write down at least five things that I want people to know how I feel, or I are integral to how I feel about whatever topic it is, so that I have talking points. And that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to get to all those talking points, but it does give me like something to fall back on and at least say like, okay, I'm not just here because I kind of like something or whatever. I'm here because I've got these things in particular that I feel about this topic and I want to get across.
Yep.
And I think that at the very least is showing everybody and myself included that I'm not taking this lightly, because people are watching you.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I mean, even in the most casual environments, it's still like you're up there and they're down there, and it's a weird dynamic sometimes, but it does exist, and they expect to be entertain us, you know, like that kind of thing.
I've said this before, Mike, I've said this on my podcast and in discussions like this, the way I approach it is, and the reason that even if I got 3 hours of sleep, the next morning I'm in a hotel coffee shop going over my notes bright and early, because the most valuable thing that you have is your time. And at a convention, at Dragon Con, even more so. And there's 1,000 things to do literally at any time at Dragon Con. Somebody, if someone's sitting in the audience for your fan panel that you're about to do, that means that they looked at a program of literally dozens of places they could be right now, and they said, I'm going to go to this. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting there looking up at you on the stage. And for that hour of that panel, you are Dragon Con. You and the other panelists, you are this person's Dragon Con experience. So if I'm up there, what do I owe them? I owe them a great panel.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes,
so I'm very much prepared, so. And it's not just dumping information. When I say be prepared, have your notes, it's not a matter of I want to make sure I clobber these people with as much information about the subject as I can.
Right,
they can read Wikipedia as easily as I can. Mm-hmm. You know, so how is this going to be entertaining? How is this going to be worth their time?
And it's interesting too, because the people in the audience are critiquing you. Remember that too.
Oh, they're judging.
Oh, they are. Not only with the
we're being judged right now.
Not only with the Dragon Con app and everything, because you can rate the panel, and they actually ask you to rate the panelists that you could do too. You know, and that's a lot of times that's how you get asked back to be on other panels and everything. So it's real interesting with that. But you also it could end up in somebody's blog or something. I was reading today a review of our Justice Society panel that myself, Mike Bailey, Mike Gordon, and Kevin did. And they said, great, the panelists knew their stuff until it came to them knowing a writer of the Justice Society at one point, which was Bill Willingham. But I wasn't going to mention it to the panelists because I thought they were going to, you know, come up with something.
Okay, so back when I was a baby geek starting out and doing fan panels, I could do a Star Trek panel with no problem because it was original series and Next Gen had just started. I would not dare to do a Star Trek panel now.
Oh, God, no.
No. Thank you, but no. There's just too much stuff I would have to know front and back, and everybody in that panel is going to know everything front and back. I'll be happy to moderate and say, so you guys, tell me about Enterprise. Tell me about that. That was fun, wasn't it? That's it. That's what I'm doing. Go.
That's one of the reasons I've never done the Trek track yet, because
it's a lot. It's a whole Star Trek.
I don't do Star Wars. I leave all that to Sue.
Yeah,
seriously. I really only do one of those things.
But see, Sue doesn't have any more memory left. That's all Star Trek.
It's true.
So You can't ask Sue to do like a panel on the 1960s Teen Titans by Bob Razakis. She won't know what she's doing. So know which lane you're in when you apply to be a panelist, please. Because people in the audience will know.
But the thing is, though, as an audience member, it is a fan panel.
True.
It's a fan discussion panel. Some of us might have attending pro badges, but we're not really professional.
We're glorified fans. Panel. We are glorified fans.
I get a pro badge because I talk about Star Trek all the time on a podcast. Like, that's all. I can't, as much as I try, I can't keep all of this stuff in my head. And so give people grace, because there's always going to be somebody in the audience who wants to like gotcha. You can gotcha me on blueprints, but I can gotcha you on fan history. So we all have our different aspects of it that interest us, you know. So give people a break. Be kind.
Seriously, and that hard.
That also
as long
reminds
as they're not being like harmful or problematic towards you.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh yeah, and that reminds me too. Like another question I get is, or another perception is that if you are a panelist, you are you get a free badge.
No,
you do not. Like that is that is not like you do not have to be a attending pro, a guest, media, whatever, to be on a panel at Dragon Con, a fan panel. I think fan panels are important to Dragon Con, and I'm not saying they're like they're what Dragon Con is, but Dragon Con is a fan run convention. It is for fans by fans, right? And so I think the backbone of the convention is the fan panels, because it's the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, whether the panels are going on in panel rooms and track rooms, or whether the panels and discussions are going on at the bar, it's still a bunch of fans talking and getting together. Right. And I think that's the main thing that you want to keep in mind too. And also I do want to, just make it clear that the five talking points that I have are not just things that like, that opinions that I have that I need to express to everybody. Like a lot of times they'll be like, how can I get the audience involved? Like, so what question can I ask that the audience can get involved with? So I can get them involved, because I want to, you know, I might have a view on this, but I want to hear everybody else's thoughts on it as well. Just because I think that works out better. I panels where, more people can get involved, I think are better for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, any other, in preparation, whenever I think of prepping for a fan panel, I think of Michael Bailey. And it's funny that you mentioned that panel, Mike, because I mean, that guy puts in work. I mean, I'm not saying the rest of us don't, but I mean, he has PowerPoint presentations that are just, I mean, chef's kiss, like impressive, right? I don't know of another panelist. I can't think of another panelist that does that much great work like that.
I love doing panels with Michael as well. He's great, and brings great visuals to put up on the screen. There's a wrong way to do PowerPoint.
Well,
so that's something you want to be careful about.
Yes.
For one thing, PowerPoint itself, you don't just want to put up a giant slide full of text and bullet points and then read it to the audience, because guess what? They can read too, and they didn't need you to put that up. Also,
there's something called the internet. We don't need that, right?
There's also a difference between a panel, which is a group of people having a discussion, and a PowerPoint presentation. So sometimes what's meant to be a panel turns into one person's PowerPoint presentation while the rest of the panel sits there quietly observing. So you don't want
those are called lectures, folks.
Panels. This was not at Dragon Con, at another convention, a panel was underway. A guy showed up late to the panel and hooked up his PowerPoint laptop projector and started presenting a PowerPoint presentation that the rest of the panel knew nothing about.
Yeah.
And that was not good.
Wow.
Sounds like a nightmare.
It sounds like someone had balls in that room for sure.
Meanwhile, yes. I have also been the person with the PowerPoint presentation and the outline who was desperately trying to get other panelists to contribute when they were not.
That's the worst, when you have to pull teeth to get the other you know, it's bad
sometimes
enough
it
when
turns
the audience
into a lecture
doesn't,
when you don't want it to.
Right.
Yeah. It's bad enough when the audience doesn't, you know, participate. It's even worse when the other panelists who are supposed to be experts or wanting to talk about this topic don't want to.
Mm-hmm. I've brought PowerPoint slides to panels a few times and with the understanding of the other panelists. So I want everybody to know what's going on. And what I've done is I've had visuals and I've had things prepared related to the subject, but not in a fixed order. Yeah. And I have a list that I refer to, so I can pull up an image on the screen that supports whatever anybody's talking about. So the discussion is driving the PowerPoint, not the other way around.
Wow.
And that works really well.
Mm-hmm. That takes skill.
Yeah. And the thing is, I have found over the last decade of doing panels at conventions, not just Dragon Con, that slides of some kind are expected now. To the point where I've gotten feedback on some panels that, like, I wish there was an AV component to this panel.
Mm.
And I literally, down in my ratings because I didn't have slides. Mm. Understand that, I also think, you know, if you make slides for everything, you limit where your discussion can go.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm sorry, Sue. That was about the slash fiction that you were doing, and I just felt like visual aids would be helpful.
That panel did have visual aids. You clearly weren't there.
I was so drunk.
Where was I?
I tasted colors that night, okay? So there you go.
I will say I hope that one day that the comic and pop artist alley, those panel rooms, can have more visual aids equipment, because when you're talking about artwork and art and a sequential art discussion, it's nice to have something visual to look at. An example of that. Yeah.
Helpful.
So that is one thing that I've always felt would be kind of nice to have there, but it's you know, not something that I don't think is, I don't know if it's either come up or I don't know what the deal is, but I think in that room, in that room in particular, one of the two rooms I think should be set up for slides or easily that kind of thing. So, anything else, Jen? You've been kind of quiet. Is it? Are you overwhelmed by all this panel experience that we're flooding you with?
Well, no. It's similar to what you're saying. Those of you who've done panels where you don't know much about it, you're just going to be the moderator, or you know, sit back and let the people who have more experience talk. That's what I'm doing.
I jump in with
a joke every 15 minutes. I mean, come on.
That, you know, that's fine. That's a contribution. But you've obviously had good experiences, because I know the panel that we did was a great experience, and I definitely hope that you are included in our panels.
In the past. When somebody shows up with a puppet in the audience at a panel, I'm there for this experience.
Yes, I am here for it. My body is ready.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I loved it when we did the Little Shop of Horrors panel, and somebody showed up with a Audrey 2 puppet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It was so cute.
It was awesome.
Yeah, when I do a panel, a fan panel, and I look out in the crowd and I see people dressed up and whatever, that, I mean, that's just like, these are my people. this is awesome.
My people.
Yes, absolutely.
We're all going to show up at Joe's at some point dressed as Simon McCorkindale one day, right?
Mike, has the chat room been quiet? What's going on with any comments, any questions from anybody watching or listening about afraid to ask?
They've been all listening intently. You know, it's pretty cool, though. But I love that, you know, Andy had posted that the kids track lets the kids moderate the fan panels.
That's fine. That's
well, awesome. That's pretty darn.
The panelists.
Yep. Which is awesome. And that's what you want to, you know, have your audience be, you know, I used to take William to the kids panels when, you know, like to the kids track and everything. And it was awesome. And, you know, it was a blast you know, he made friends there, and you also hear your own peers talking about what you want to hear. Same thing with kids, you know, and it's pretty awesome that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So And now that they have the diversity track, you have that going on. And, you know, it's expanding all the way across. And, you know, they've taken more of the adult stuff away, but, you know, it's, mm-hmm. you know, for the official panels and such.
Yeah, they've taken some adult stuff away, but there's still some controversial topics that will come up in panels.
Oh, yeah, and there should be. There should be.
And there's still 21 and over rated panels that happen after, like, 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And some do include libations.
That's true.
Well, damn straight.
Yeah, I don't know about taken away so much as I see tracks wanting to do more parties and more events mm-hmm. after Watershed than panels.
Mm.
So I don't think, I mean, maybe I'm very wrong, but I don't think there's anybody in the office telling people they can't do adult programming.
Mm. We're not in the office, so we wouldn't know.
Yeah.
We wouldn't know. Yeah.
We don't know.
We're
just,
not an official DragonCon podcast. So
we just know. And if we were, we probably wouldn't be talking about this.
And a lot of us are friends with people who work for DragonCon, and we're not going to abuse mm-hmm. our friendships by asking mm-hmm. them those type of questions, because it's not our show.
Not our show, not our business, not our circus, not our monkeys.
No. Well, let me ask you this, though. Okay, so let me ask you then, is that something you would like to see more of?
Adult stuff?
More adult?
Adult-themed panels at Dragon Con.
I spent an hour talking about Flash Vic. What do you think?
I mean, there's definitely a place for it. I mean, that's been demonstrated for years.
I've gone to some of them, but you know, some nights I'm going to be at parties. Mm-hmm. Some nights I'm going to be watching puppets have sex. I mean, it just depends on what that particular night is.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think there should always be nighttime adult events and panels at mm-hmm. con. I think that's part of the experience. Even the families that go, a lot of them, you know, either bring extended family to watch kids in the evenings, or they have babysitters or what have you, or some parents are taking a vacation from their kids. And then, of mm-hmm. course, there's those of us that do not have kids. We like our G-rated stuff, but we also, you know, want some R or more mature
NC-17. Well.
I can join a Disney sing-along in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I can also do other things.
Yes, we know, Dan. We know. But yeah, it's interesting too, because I have no problem with them carding people to get into the track room and everything. Mm-hmm. And I think they should do more of that after 11 p.m. or stuff. I remember, like, when we tried to get William into the puppetry slam, he was going to be 18 in a month. And they wouldn't let him in because he was 17 and 11 months.
Wow.
And so it sucked, but you know, we had to abide by it, and I agreed with it, and that's what they should do. And they should
that event gets very adult.
Yeah. And by the way, pro tip, if you say you left your ID somewhere, no, they're not letting you in. So don't bother with that crap. Don't bother with it. They've heard that before.
I left my ID in my other pants. Yeah.
Then you should go get your other pants. Have a nice day. Goodbye.
Well, and I don't know if it's the same in Georgia as it is here in Texas, but even when you, like, obviously look like you could be in your 60s, you still have to be carded, because you have to have a valid non-expired ID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And, you know, you have to basically go by it too. If they say no, you don't try to argue it. You don't fight it.
Yeah. Because you're not going to change their mind.
No.
That's a free call to security and your badge being pulled. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Oh, we saw it. We've seen it.
And especially if you're also inebriated and can't prove you're over 21 and over.
Oh yeah.
Cause that's a violation of the con rules right there. Have a nice day.
I think we've exhausted then everything about fan panels. You know, I mean, at least like for the time being, right? There may be some more questions out there. So from people listening or watching this, not live, please feel free to contact us. Let us know what you want to know, and we will try our best to answer those questions for you or find out answers for you.
And the best word of advice, truthfully, if you want to be in a panel, contact the track director. And they will tell you how to do it, and everything is the best way to do it.
And almost every track has a Facebook page to look up.
And if you're really like not knowing where to begin, you can always ask someone who's done panels before. So I love, you know, I don't mind answering those questions whatsoever. So all right. Very cool. Thank you so much. We're going to draw a close to the fifth episode of the 2022 Dragon Con Report. So thank you so much for watching, for listening. We really appreciate it. Commenting, especially Dave. we really appreciate all the comments that we've gotten, and this is really fun. So thanks for working with us while we try out this new technology via the interweb. We really appreciate it, and thanks so much. And I'm looking forward to, you know, this process getting better and better and more interactive. So thanks for that. And thank you to our panelists, I should say, our guests. Sue, thanks so much again for joining us.
Anytime.
And how can people find the Newbies Group and anything else you want to promote personally?
Sure. So Dragon Con Newbies, not just for newbies. We're over on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/DragonConNewbies. That's NEWBIES. There is a page and a group. Make sure that you join the group because that's where the discussion happens. If you want to hear me talk about Star Trek some more, head over to womenatwarp.com where we explore intersectional diversity in infinite combinations. And I'm also the one recapping Strange New Worlds at the moment. So those recaps go up on the website every release day at 10 a.m. And I just don't sleep anymore. It's great.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
She's just prepping for the con, folks.
She's just working up that no sleep tolerance.
She's doing that while she's sewing.
Kevin, thank you so much for joining us, sir. A little bit behind the curtain. It was last minute. So thank you so much for your flexibility, we'll say.
Oh, that's fine. No, it's great to be here. Always happy to be part of the Dragon Con Report. I love Dragon Con and love talking Dragon Con with all of you. My main place you can find me online is my podcast is called The Flopcast. We're at flopcast.net, and we're also part of the ESO Network. And for 10 years now, every single week, we've just been talking about silly, nerdy things.
That's right. And it's been great. And chickens.
And chickens.
And chickens. Chickens.
And cats. Oh, hello.
Wow.
That was not a chicken.
That was not a chicken.
And to our regular crew, thanks, Jen, once again.
As always, a pleasure, guys.
And anything to, well, of course, we've got the Facebook group, right?
Yes, the two main places to find me is in the DragonCon Parties, Meetups, and More group, where as the con gets closer and then while the con's going on, we let you know about concerts and, parties, meetups, all that kind of good stuff, and group members can chat in there, meet up with people, post about cancellations and all that, and you can also find me as one half of the Blurred Nerds podcast, where I also talk about silly nerd stuff with a little bit more curse words, I'm sure, than Kevin does. We are also a part of the ESO Network.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a proud member, too. And Darren, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And where can people find you?
Legion of Soup. Substitute podcasters.com.
Substitute.
This was supposed to be water. I'm sorry. It's actually
Did Darren know we substituted his water for.
You did. Where I talk about Legion of Superheroes stuff with my buds, and we've been doing that show for about 15 years now. It's crazy.
Wow.
It's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, and we're just finishing the original run soon. Believe it or not.
Wow.
Believe
long,
it or not.
Long live the Legion.
Long live the Legion. And I will be back on ESO for the Rainbow Room for Pride weekend. And we're going to talk about those Aussies. And we're going to go on a little bus ride to Alice Springs, darling. That's where we're going to go this time. It's going to be fabulous.
I'm looking forward to it. And of course, Director Faber, which none of this would be possible without you, man.
Well, I'm the one who bought it, so yeah, I guess it is. You know, so yeah, I guess I am the one who brought it to you.
Technology.
Exactly. But yes, it is awesome. And so far, I think StreamYard has been a true success for us. And I'm thinking we're going to have a lot of fun with it. I've been playing with things in the background while we've been doing the show. And oh, wait till the graphics come, folks. We'll have those PowerPoint presentations. You know, it'll be awesome.
And we can plug our other shows.
Oh, of course we can. Earth Station One, please check us out. We just reviewed the new Downton Abbey movie. It's pretty awesome. And, you know, we had a lot of fun with that. And then, like we said, next week we're going on vacation. So we're having a travel agent on our show. It's going to be a lot of fun talking about, you know, now that COVID is kind of behind us. And
we hope.
We are pretending.
Yeah,
we're pretending. So maybe you can maybe go on a vacation or something. You know, just wear a mask, folks. You know?
Two of us in the Northeast are not having that.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, Earth Station Who, which just celebrated its 300th episode. And you know, we didn't have anything to talk about. So we were just chatting about ourselves. There's no Doctor Who news. Come on. So check out our two other shows. It's a great thing. Or check out the many shows of the ESO Network. It's a ton of fun. There's some great stuff out there, folks. And thank you, everyone, for your support.
Absolutely. And thank you once again. Appreciate it. And a special thanks, of course, to our listeners, viewers, fans, and friends. We try to cover all we can with these fun shows. But to keep up with the latest news, please check out the official DragonCon website, social media outlets, and the town meeting. If you haven't checked it out already, by the time you hear this, it will have just aired. So go ahead and watch or listen to that. All the fan tracks are active on social media. So as we've said many times in this show, reach out to them. Even if you don't want to be a panelist, reach out to them because they love having ideas and interactions with people, even prior to DragonCon. And of course, be sure to join the DragonCon parties, meetups, and more on Facebook. We are a proud member of the ESO Network. We have a TeePublic store filled with all kinds of cool stuff, including a very cool design for the DragonCon Report podcast, that logo that you see. There's a link for that in this episode's show notes
whatever.
We also have a Patreon page, and we thank you again, patrons, for all your support. You can help us support also by leaving a review on whatever platform you're watching or listening to us. So if you want to leave us direct feedback or have questions, comment on the show, please feel free to use our email address. It's feedback@dragonconreport.com. You can also reach out to us via social media as well. Thanks again for watching and listening. I'm your host, Mike Gordon. And as always, it's been my pleasure. Take care, stay safe, and we look forward to seeing you all at the con.
Bye. I miss you guys already. Now, how do I shut this thing off? Oh, there it
has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.